This is WCNY's The Capitol Press Room, and we're turning our attention to the finalized environmental conservation portion of the budget. And to do that, we're joined on The Capitol Press Room by Senate Environmental Conservation Committee Chair Pete Harkham, a Westchester County Democrat. Welcome back to the show, Senator.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start with what may be the biggest dollar amount in the budget as it pertains to environmental spending, and that's the clean water capital money, which has been funded at $500 million annually in recent budgets, but was proposed for $250 million this year by the governor before it was negotiated back up to $500 million. Why was it important to secure that restoration?
Well, that was a big cut. This has been an incredibly popular program for the last 5 years. We've invested $500 million in clean water infrastructure. We know the backlog is $60 billion in New York. So $500 million is not enough, but at least it was a reliable source of money municipalities could count on to begin to address their water infrastructure needs. So cutting that money in half was really a blow to our municipalities and our efforts to address the backlog of clean water projects.
The Hochul administration, in defense of the $250 million level that they proposed, argued that, one, the state might not have the capacity to spend beyond $250 million, and two, that spending, say, $500 million would drive up demand for both resources and personnel to actually do this work, which then leads to increased costs for these clean water projects. What about the potential for those outcomes?
I reject both of those. You know, we've got to have the capacity to get money out the door. And that's been a problem, not just with environmental facilities, but with a lot of state agencies. You know, nonprofits, whether they be on the social service side or our municipalities, rely on state money and they count on it. And we've got to get that money out the door. We've gotten the money out the door in the past. There shouldn't be a bottleneck. The other thing is, there are union members who need work right now. There are contractors who need work right now. Not only is this money going towards our infrastructure, it's going towards good paying jobs right in our communities. So we need to keep the $500 million level. One of the other things they suggested at the budget hearing was that we had the Bond Act. So there was money there. Let's be very clear. The legislative intent of the Bond Act that the people of New York voted for was to supplement maintenance of effort, not to supplant maintenance of effort. So we can use all the money we can get right now. We have a $60 billion backlog, and $500 million a year has been a consistent, steady source of investment for our municipalities.
Well, sticking with funding that was restored, the Environmental Protection Fund has been at about a $400 million level for a year or two now, and the governor looked to tap into some of that money for staff to actually administer spending from that fund, and that's how they billed the so-called RAID that was proposed. That RAID was ultimately abandoned in the final budget. Why was that an important push for the legislature?
Well, because the money is to go towards environmental protection projects, not towards staff salaries. That's why we have an operating budget. And when they proposed the $25 million in salaries, they were cutting existing programs and projects that were in the Environmental Protection Fund. So it was vital that we move those salaries out of the Environmental Protection Fund back into the operating budget where they belong, and then we restored the cuts to the organizations and the projects that would have been impacted.
Was there anything else in this budget that stood out to you from a dollars and cents perspective as it pertains to the environmental budget, or were those two issues we just talked about the big ones when it comes to environmental spending?
Those were the two big ones.
So in light of language addressing the future use of natural gas hookups ultimately falling out during budget negotiations, is there anything particularly meaningful in this budget in terms of environmental policy?
It was light on policy. You know, the shift of ORES over to the Public Service commission and adding transmission. That was a significant policy shift because transmission, generation, and storage all sort of need to go together in order to make this transition work. So that was a significant policy shift. It may seem like inside baseball to folks, but I think that will certainly make the process run smoother and more efficiently.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about that process issue you just brought up. ORES, or the Office of Renewable Energy Siting, was created initially to accelerate the process of siting renewable energy projects. Now it's got a new home in the Public Service Commission, and there's language that's designed to accelerate the siting of new transmission projects. But we've heard from some in the industry that they're a little underwhelmed by the language that's there because it is so similar to the siting of renewable energy projects, and that hasn't necessarily gone to light speed since ORES was created. So what are your expectations for transmission siting moving forward? Do you think there's going to be a major change in the pace of new transmission projects?
Well, I think number one, we have to be careful about light speed because, you know, this is not to override local concerns. We still need to take local concerns into account when siting projects, and ORES is required to take local concerns in. So there have been some delays, there have been some backlogs, and certainly ORES has worked through that backlog. Some of the transmission projects have taken way too long. You know, if we are to get clean energy to where it's being consumed, we need transmission. And everybody admits we need to upgrade our transmission system from the utilities to the clean energy developers. And so this will be a good first step to begin to accelerate that process.
Well, before we move on, let me reintroduce you for listeners just joining us. This is the Capitol Press Room, and we're speaking with Senate Environmental Conservation Committee Chair Pete Harcum. So there was a push by some Republicans in the legislature to inject language into the budget that would slow down or outright end the state's push to convert school buses to zero emission vehicles. Ultimately, that language was not included, but there was some language in the budget addressing zero emission school bus resources within NYSERDA, as well as some clarification about how Bond Act money could be used and how it might not affect the other pots of aid that school districts receive. What do you see as the impact of this work, which I would argue is largely around the margins, but could potentially smooth out this green transition?
I don't think it was marginal at all. Okay. Schools have had trouble figuring out how they make this transition. NYSERDA has a lot of resources. They have a lot of technical expertise. There's money for planning grants in NYSERDA that can be used. And so this will put all those resources in one place, and school districts will have one place that they can go to. Right now, there's plenty of money between the Bond Act, where we allocated $500 million, the federal money that's come in from the Inflation Reduction Act, and there's more that's there to get a jump start on the electrification of school buses. And I think we need to remember this is not just a climate-driven issue. This is also about the health of the people who ride those buses, who are exposed to 19 times more pollutants than people not on those buses. So it's important that we continue to push ahead, but we need to give the school districts the resources they need to make that transition.
Well, looking ahead to the remainder of the session, what do you envision yourself trying to push to the end zone between now and the scheduled end of session on June 6th?
Well, personally, I'll be pushing the Packaging Reduction and Recycling Infrastructure Act. We have made several rounds of revisions to that bill. We have a waste crisis in New York, also contributes to greenhouse gases. We're running out of landfill space, and we need to reimagine how we deal with waste and put the onus on the folks who create the waste, not on the taxpayers.
How do you envision getting that legislation to the finish line? I know, and we've talked about this, the efforts you've made to sort of meet the different stakeholders in the middle and try to build consensus. But obviously, to this point, there hasn't been a consensus amongst state lawmakers. So how do you realize this legislation?
We continue to work. We continue to have dialogue. We continue to listen. If we need to make more revisions, you know, I'm open to that. This is an iterative process. You know, legislation doesn't come down on tablets from on high. We need to work it, and we're still in that process, and we'll continue to work it as long as we have to.
And can you talk a little bit more about what it means to work an issue like this? Are you talking with central staff? Do you have to meet with individual lawmakers and try to address their concerns? What is the process like?
Well, it's all of the above. It's meeting with other legislators, hearing their concerns. It's meeting with stakeholders who will be impacted by this law. You know, certainly it's meeting with central staff. That's all part of the process. It's all of the above. It's meeting with all of the stakeholders to find out how we can get to a place where everybody is saying yes.
Well, speaking of getting everyone saying yes, as we mentioned earlier, the New York HEAT Act was legislation that was pushed in the budget by both the Senate and the governor, but ultimately was not part of a final deal. How do you get the assembly to say yes on that issue? Is there something that you can do as a member of the state Senate, or is the ball essentially in the assembly's court at this point?
Well, I think it's partially in their court. This is something that the Senate is squarely behind. The governor is behind a version of this. So conceptually, we're aligned. There may be differences in policy. But, you know, the sponsor of the bill and the governor and the assembly need to negotiate to see if they get to a place where the assembly is on board.
And unlike the budget process where the governor has really statutorily and constitutionally a seat at the table, a standalone legislation originates from the Senate and Assembly. So do you envision that the Senate will be more, I guess, aggressive in pushing its version of the New York HEAT Act? Or are you trying to meet the governor halfway on this issue?
I would leave that up to the sponsor. I don't want to speak for Liz Krueger, who's the sponsor of the bill, as to what process she is taking and who she's speaking with. But clearly, in order to get this over the finish line, we as a Senate that support it very much, you know, we need to negotiate. And you know, that's with any bill. So, you know, the next 5 weeks on this bill, my bill, many other bills, there'll be a flurry of activity. You know, unfortunately, we were waylaid a couple weeks by the late budget. So now we have to cram 8 weeks of work into 5 weeks. But, you know, that's why we get paid. And that's our responsibility.
Well, we've been speaking with Senate Environmental Conservation Committee Chair Pete Harkham. He is a Westchester County Democrat. Senator, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, David.
And for more Capitol Press Room content, visit CapitolPressRoom.org or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. And if you listen to us from an Apple device, make sure to leave us a rating and a review so it helps other people find the show.
Support for the Capitol Press Room provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. Visit UnionStrongNY.org for more information. Join us again for Capitol Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.